This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Modernization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Greg Mumma of Rocket Software. Greg Mumma has more than 15 years of experience with legacy modernization. He has designed and implemented modernization solutions for mainframe, IBMI, and OpenVMS applications that provide mission-critical functionality to some of the world's largest organizations. In his current role as product manager for Rocket, Greg is responsible for product design, sales, and marketing, and occasionally on-site solution implementation. Take this opportunity to learn more about software modernization. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Greg Mumma.
Greg, can you give me a brief overview of your experience in modernization?
I personally have been working in the modernization space for about 15 years. I started out as actually a customer of Siegel's and was using their GUI 400 product. And I joined Siegel about 12 years ago. And so my experience overall is probably about 15 years. Most of that, the early years were spent with the AS400. But in about the last 6 or 7 years, I've also adopted the mainframe and many Unix platforms as things that we modernize. So I've had a lot of experience with those now as well.
There's several different ways to modernize applications. And does Siegel have a specific approach that they use most regularly?
We do. There are three, what we view are three really primary approaches. And one, the first one is reuse, so reusing the existing assets. And that's the approach that we take. There are also the lift and shift options, which is really to take code and put it on another platform. And then there's the replacement option, which to me really just means altogether taking the system and developing new business requirements and removing the platform and application altogether and replacing it with something new. But we focus on the reuse approach. We think it's the fastest time to market in terms of a solution. It's usually the cheapest. And it's also least disruptive to an organization because you're just taking advantage of the assets that you already have rather than introducing something that's new and potentially unknown to both the business and the IT community.
So with a reuse option, you can actually keep your same application and keep developing it just like you are and just modernize the new screens as they come around, can't you?
Yes, exactly.
Most people consider JWalk as a screen scraper. How has it matured over the years?
I think the comment that JWalk is a screen scraper from the core functional perspective is still true. We still leverage the existing screen in the application. And by the way, we call the product LegaSuite GUI now, and it influences more than the 400. It also deals with the mainframe and the Unix, as I mentioned. But the core of building an application with a GUI solution is really about taking an existing application and making it do things that it can't do today, whether that's due to the platform or the design of the application or some other factor. But yeah, we don't run away from the assertion that we're screen scraping. I think that's very much what that particular product line does, and it's very good at it. We've had over 20 years of experience doing it now. So definitely, I think that that's we feel comfortable in that role.
It sounds like since you've gotten into the mainframe and the Unix world as well, you could potentially have an application that sits on multiple platforms and present all three environments in one set of screens. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's where extending beyond the individual screens really comes into play. As we started to go into these other platform environments, we discovered that there are a lot of non-screen-based ways to get to application logic. In the mainframe, there's a method called COM area, for example. And, of course, there's direct database access and, just a wide variety of ways to get to business logic. So, as we have built out the product, we've moved beyond the screen, but we've really done it still using methods that are supported by the existing platforms that we access. So the end result is we can take business logic from any one or all of those platforms or, data from a database and combine it at the user layer where the user can work with that information as one thing, as one unit of work.
Integration like that's an important thing these days too.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of companies have a wide variety of applications and they need to have some central way to get to it all.
Definitely. I mean, I think our Lego Suite tooling is really geared at organizations that are multi-platform, and you know, they need to share information, whether that's at the user face or, you know, from an integration perspective, like SOA integration. You know, that's really probably our sweetest spot is going to be somebody that's multi-platform and has a need to make that information be provided together, whether that's in a, you know, an interface, a SOA way, or from the user perspective.
You have other tools that the company promotes also. Do those all integrate together? For example, can you take a Windows application in your AS400 or IBMI application and a mainframe application and work with all of them together, integrate the tools that you use together?
Yes, we can. You know, the specifics for each one of those would sort of depend on what the customer is looking for. You know, but at a high level, we can take, say, functionality out of a Windows application, for example, and publish it as a SOA service. Then we could take an AS400 green screen application and front end the actual screens from that. Then we could pull the service in from the Windows application and actually make it available for use in refaced AS400 application. So that's just one example, but it's fairly typical for, I think, where we want to go in the marketplace.
What's the final application server that you're looking at? Do you have people use Linux, Windows? What server do they normally publish the actual web pages on that you produce?
We are very much what I'll call platform neutral. We don't like to mandate any particular application server, you know, or deployment environment. So we look at the application of standards instead. Java application server, for example, there are some standard ways that you can drop in a functionality and deploy it in an ear or a WAR file, for example, if you're dealing with a J2E app server. So what we try to do is create you know, a runtime that will work in any one of the environments that are out there and are really standard today. SharePoint, WebSphere, all of the Apache line of things like Tomcat and the Apache portal server. You know, we try to focus on the standard rather than a specific platform because, you know, frankly, no two customers are alike. They all do it a little differently, and we'd like to be able to fit in whatever their infrastructure is.
It seems like a good approach because then as their infrastructure changes, they can modify what they produce then to fit their new infrastructure.
That's correct.
Right, so they can move forward and have a good application for the future.
Right. I mean, in fact, often they don't even have to change, you know, our stuff to deploy it into a different environment. It's simply a matter of configuring the deployment differently. There's usually no development work or very little development work involved in making a, you know, a major deployment change if they want to switch from WebSphere to Microsoft IIS or SharePoint, for example.
Do you deploy in both Java and .NET versions, or is it just a Java version that you deploy on?
No, we deploy in both environments. We can, with our integration product, in fact, you know, we can create Java command beans and .NET assemblies, and that's all done with a single development effort. So you build your service in our workbench, and you basically select all of the options that you want to publish that to. And we have .NET, we have Java, we have XML messaging, we have portlets. You know, there's a variety of different ways to get functionality out to a user. And the idea behind our tooling is really that you should have to do the work only once to make an interface available to all those different platforms or environments.
Interesting. You mentioned portlets. So can you create a standard Java portlet?
Yeah, we have customers that do JSR 168 today, and there's a couple of standards that have emerged since then. WSRP is really what I understand to be the latest one, or what we understand to be the latest one. And yeah, that's you know, with the release of the product coming out in fall, we'll support WSRP. So as the standards evolve, we try to evolve ourselves along with them.
And there's no recoding for the customer to fit those into those new standards, is there?
Right, it would become a new publish option. So, you know, the upgraded product, when you get a hold of that, you can now publish an API as a WSRP, for example. So, you know, as you buy the upgrade, you would simply take the whatever it was you had built, the transaction, for example, and publish it as the WSRP standard. So the only rework would be basically going into the workbench and saying, okay, now I want a WSRP interface for all of the stuff that I just did, and away you go.
In the application development cycle, you know, there's a lot of different steps that go on. Does Rocket fit into all these steps, or is it just something that's at the very end of a project?
Well, I think traditionally we may have been used more as an end of the project thought. And honestly, I think that's a shame sometimes, because we have all of the technology to make it possible to build, deploy, and maintain a Lego Suite application in a highly automated fashion. We encourage all of our customers, you know, when you purchase our solution, to make it a part of project planning right from the beginning. And, you know, those that, the majority do, I guess. But in the past, we encountered situations where people really thought of this as an afterthought. And frankly, that may have been because we made it seem too easy. It was, you know, you can take a screen and you can lay a GUI on top of it or lay a transaction on top of it. And because it was easy, people often thought, you know, I can do this at the end of my project and really treat it as an afterthought. We've tried to sort of bring our marketplace forward and point out whenever we go into a new sales situation that, you know, you need to think about the complete life cycle for this application. Not only can you build something with our solutions and, of course, deploy it using our runtime engines, but over time, as you change those applications that support the Lego Suite deployment, because you have to remember, we're reusing existing applications. As you change those applications, you need a good way to move that functionality forward into the new GUI or into the service that we've created. And we have some very highly automated change management tools inside the workbench, our Lego Suite workbench, that allow you to do that.
That really is good, because change management, that's a big problem or, you know, a big concern in most shops. You know, if you have all these screens, you want to make sure that you get everything and not miss one little piece.
Definitely.
Now, how about internationalization? Can you use other languages and so forth within Rocket?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that's one of the great things about Rocket is we have development facilities all over the world. So we really practice what we preach when it comes to internationalization. You know, we have facilities in the Netherlands, in the U.S., in Russia, in Australia, in China. So there's a variety of different languages that we have to speak and master just to do business, you know, internally in the company. And that philosophy is really reflected out in the product lines. The GUI solution, you know, the old GUI 400 and JWalk and Lego Suite GUI stuff has been internationalized since forever. That includes coverage for, you know, double byte languages like Chinese. You know, we can support those things out of the box. And I think particularly our software vendor community, the ISVs that buy our solution, a lot of them want to do business in these other locales where other languages are spoken. And it's nice with Lego Suite to have the option to basically flip a switch and then support a particular CCS ID or you know, a double byte language if the need is there for the business to do that.
Rocket has several applications for modernization, is that correct?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. It sort of depends on what you're looking to do. Rocket acquired U2 some time ago, and U2 applications are, as you may know, is a database platform. And applications built on the U2 database, that business unit of Rocket has moved forward, you know, prior to their ever being acquired, with their own web enablement and so enablement solutions for U2 applications specifically. What's interesting about that is within Rocket, you know, now that we're part of the same family, we're encouraged to talk. So we and the U2 folks are actually, you know, engaging in meetings to figure out what the best synergies are between their technology and ours, and you know, do we have things they can use, and do they have things we can use? So I think Rocket is very much set up to do that. Beyond U2, there are some other capabilities that Rocket provides that could be called modernization, you know, some database translation tools, some ETL type tools, and of course a lot of the work and the DB2 work that we do for IBM. But I think if you talk about application modernization, probably the Lego Suite component and the U2 component are the two biggest things that we provide.
The Lego Suite, I've used that in the past, and it's really quite a nice product.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we currently actually use it in one of our applications, and it's done a great job in modernizing our stuff.
Great. I would be thrilled to show you Lega Suite 6. That includes all of the integration as well as the GUI stuff in Eclipse. And we're rolling that out this fall. And very excited, actually. It's the first major rewrite, if you will, of the GUI presentation layer in several years. And I think it really brings a lot of cool stuff to the table that people have been asking for in the product.
That sounds good. Now, are you going to have a video demonstration of it available?
Oh, we sure will. We're gonna make quite a bit of noise, I hope.
when that comes out, I'd love to put that on Software Modernization so people can have a look at it from here and maybe get to look at your software that way.
We would be happy to do that. We've been I've been demo practicing already, actually, for doing exactly that. So I think you can probably expect to see something on that sooner rather than later. We would like to get that message out to the marketplace, you know, even prior to rollout of the product. So we'll certainly keep you in the loop on that.
Now we have a programmer that he's listened to the things you have to talk about, and he's all ready to get started with Rocket and learn Lega Suite. What's the best way for him to go learn about what the capabilities are that we haven't talked about, and then actually learn to start using the product?
Well, I think the best way is to engage with us. We can certainly point you to the website, and I think, you know, as with everyone's website, you will get a general picture of what we do and how our products work. But what's always missing from that is, you know, an understanding of how our products made up with your environment. As, you know, as a new programmer, you have specific things you like, specific languages and platforms that you use. And, you know, by reading material on our website, you may get a general idea of what we do, but it's not going to be, you probably won't reach the understanding of exactly how you would apply our solutions to the exact technical or business problems that you're trying to solve. So we don't, for example, we don't provide free software downloads because we really don't feel like someone would be able to just download our product and turn it loose and become productive and create exactly what they want to create to solve the problem that they have. So we don't make anybody download anything or sign anything. There's, you know, it's no obligation at all to talk to us or even have us, you know, look over your application and review what it is you're trying to do. We're also happy to demonstrate the technology against, you know, your specific applications and show you exactly what we do and how we do it. And, you know, we just find that to be very effective. It's more effective, we think, than having somebody download a trial version. And, you know, because it doesn't do something three levels deep down into the product, for someone to get frustrated and walk away simply because they don't understand how it is they need to do what it is they're trying to do.
Yeah, just using a demo by itself, it can be rather cumbersome, and you sometimes do miss a lot out of the product.
Yeah, that's really our philosophy. I mean, we could make it available for download, but, you know, I think people would get more frustrated than necessary, feel like they had a good experience out of that.
What other services do you offer for your customers? You have the product you sell, but do you help mentor people and train people and so forth?
Oh, we do. We have a fairly significant professional services organization that's global. We have a presence on five continents from our services, and we provide everything from product training, which can be achieved in under 10 days. That's for development, deployment, and a little bit of extra stuff thrown in, all the way through to full turnkey development. And we do all of those types of projects for our customers. I think most people actually fall in the middle, which I will call the training and mentoring approach. And the idea here is that we'll provide the training and get you productive and to understand all of the basics, and then we'll help you for your first project. So, you know, a single Seagull resource can be on site or working with you remotely to deliver, you know, maybe the first deliverable or the first couple of deliverables in the project. And what that really does is it goes one step beyond just classroom training, and it helps customers to understand how everything that we do works in their environment. Now, I have to say something about our services people, too, because I'm really proud of our services organization. I actually, you know, came up through that organization and started there, and we don't have a single consultant or service partner who's been with us or worked with our products for less than 10 years. And I think that's a tremendous testament to our products, and also a tremendous comfort, I would hope, to anyone looking to buy a solution like this. You know, when somebody comes on site and works with you, they're not somebody that learned how to use the product yesterday. They're almost always going to be somebody that's been, you know, through hundreds or literally dozens of projects before. So the experience level that we bring to the table is very important. And the other thing to say about that is simply that these people have a lot of experience outside of just the LegaSuite products. So we've seen a lot of activity recently where customers want to deploy back office functionality to the web. You know, utilities doing customer care and letting people turn services on or off through the website instead of calling the contact center, for example. And, you know, not only can we provide the expertise to hook up that back-end system to the website, whether it's a mainframe or an AS400 or a Unix app or Unix system, but we can provide the expertise to build the website itself. So we've just completed phase two on a project actually with a large utility where we've done exactly that. We've helped them SOA enable the mainframe, and then we've helped them create the website that their customers actually come to make their service changes.
I think that's actually a pretty good service, because people coming from the mainframe or a Unix that's been used as a legacy system or the 400, they don't have that exposure to the web. Moving to the web is a whole new animal for them. Having that capability brought right into with their modernization project sounds really good.
Yeah, I mean, we leave and they're smarter, and not just smarter about our technology, but they're smarter about, you know, about the web. They're smarter about doing what it is they really set out to do in the first place. And I too feel really good about that. I think it's a great thing to offer.
Sounds like you have a good range of services and products that really fit a good niche. Do you have anything else you want to point out yet before we close the interview for the day?
I think you know that we're pretty set. I do want to just invite anyone who may be reading or listening to come to the website and keep your eye open for announcements about LegaSuite 6. We are going to be rolling that out this fall, and we're really excited about exposing the market to some of the coolest things that I think we've ever done as a product and a development organization. So I just want to thank you for your time and for doing this interview, and certainly I'd like to thank everyone who's listening or reading along. I appreciate we appreciate your attention and your interest.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. And if you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark, please visit softwaremodernization.com and click on the interview link.